Things I like about Yeshua from the book of John, part 3, final installment. Yeshua is the most amazing man who ever lived. He's the greatest man who ever lived. He's the most interesting man who ever lived. I like so many things about Yeshua. Here are some of the things I like about him that come from the biography written about him by his friend and disciple, John. I like when a king or a queen makes a grand entrance. I especially like Yeshua's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. John tells us that a great crowd took palm branches, waving the lulav. The palm branches expresses joy and is a way to honor someone. A great crowd took palm branches and went out to meet Yeshua, shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, please save. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. This crowd was thrilled because they believed that Yeshua was the King of Israel and that God had sent Yeshua to save them, to help them. And they were right, even more right than they knew. He is the King of Israel, but he's also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Son of the High King of Heaven. And he will help Israel, but not only help Israel, he will help with the entire world with the greatest help, the greatest salvation of all. I like Yeshua's grand entrance into Jerusalem. None of the other religions of the world have prophecies about their founders like we have about Yeshua. I like that Yeshua fulfilled the Zechariah prophecy. He found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." 500 years earlier, the prophet Zechariah had predicted that the Messiah would enter his capital in an unusual way, not on a great stallion, but on a donkey, reflecting the humility of Israel's greatest king. Yeshua's triumphal entry on a donkey not only reveals his amazing humility, but also encapsulates, summarizes his first coming as the suffering servant. I like that Yeshua knew that he was going to die and that his death was necessary to give life to his followers. He said, "Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." A great lesson from nature. And Yeshua wants us to look at our lives the same way he looked at his. It is to be used sacrificially in God's service. He went on, "Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Most people don't know how they will die. Maybe a few do. I like that Yeshua knew how he would die. He said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself," showing the kind of death he was going to die, an atoning death of crucifixion. I like that at his last meal, the Son of God, the Creator of all things, washed his disciples' feet, setting us an example to be servants. If he who is the greatest of all could humble himself and wash his disciples' feet, can't I serve others? Can't you? It's easy for people to dislike those who are different, who speak a different language, cook different kinds of foods, have a different skin color, who have a different race or nationality, whose political views are different, dislike those who are richer than they are. I like that Yeshua told his disciples, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We are to love our fellow Christians and Messianic Jews in spite of differences in race, nationality, skin color, language, economic status. And I like that Yeshua gives us the power to love one another. We can be troubled when people we love leave us. I like that Yeshua promised to return for us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. Yeshua tells us that we are to have the same kind of faith, the same kind of trust in him as we have in God the Father, and that we should trust his promise that during his temporary absence, he is preparing a place for us, and that if he prepares a place for us, he will return for us and bring us to that place so we can be with him in that place. I believe in Yeshua, and I trust him to fulfill this fantastic promise. Do you? Therefore, I am not troubled. I am not troubled by his temporary absence. I like that Yeshua followed up this amazing statement with other amazing statements. You know the way to the place where I am going. But one of his disciples was confused. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Yeshua answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We cannot get to our heavenly home, our permanent residence, by ordinary means of travel. We can only get there by having a relationship with Yeshua. Yeshua is the way. When we are in a right relationship with him, he will bring us to his Father and to our heavenly home. Yeshua is the truth. When we are in a relationship with Yeshua, we are united to the truth. And God loves truth. And truth saves, and truth is eternal. When we are united to Yeshua, the God of truth will welcome us into his eternal presence. Yeshua is the life. When we are in a relationship with Yeshua, he gives us eternal life, and we will live forever with him and his Father in our eternal homes. I like that Yeshua said to his disciples, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." An advocate is someone who is called alongside to help. Yeshua had been their advocate. He had been with his disciples and had been helping them. He promised that after he left them, he would send his Spirit, who would be with them and help them, their advocate. The Holy Spirit lives in us and gives us the same kind of help that Yeshua gave his disciples when he was physically present with them. The Spirit guides us, teaches us, empowers us for holy living, and enables us to serve God. Wow. God the Father and Yeshua both send the advocate. That makes Yeshua very, very special. I very much want to be close to Yeshua and to his Father. I like that Yeshua told us how. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Understand that the Father and the Son do not literally live in us. They live in us by means of their Spirit who lives in us. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Love and obedience are connected. Let me repeat that. Love and obedience are connected. Healthy people want to live in a clean home. Not a home that hasn't been cleaned for months, is cluttered with junk, old newspapers, has dirty clothes on the floor, dirty dishes in the sink. The garbage hasn't been taken out for weeks, and the home smells bad. I've been in a home like that, and I could not wait to get out of there. The Father and the Son feel the same way about us. Love for Yeshua, which is manifested by obedience to Yeshua's teaching, create an environment where spiritual intimacy between us and the Father and the Son flourishes. Does that describe you? Living in a fallen world can cause us to be troubled and be afraid. I like that Yeshua offered to give his peace to troubled and fearing disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The world's peace comes from the absence of conflict or from circumstances going well. Yeshua offers us his peace, a different and better kind of peace, a peace not dependent on circumstances, a peace not dependent on things going well, a peace that comes from knowing God and knowing that God will vindicate those who serve him. Yeshua offers us his peace. My peace I give you. Because he knew he was doing what God wanted him to do and one day would be vindicated, Yeshua was able to have peace in the midst of his circumstances. Not because of the absence of conflict or because his circumstances were good. They weren't good. He had been experiencing a tremendous amount of conflict and knew that he was very shortly to be arrested, put on trial, suffer terribly, and die a horrible death. In spite of this, Yeshua had peace. And now that he is risen and full of honor and power and peace, the Prince of Peace is able to give his peace to us. My peace I give you. I like that Yeshua used things that everyone understood to teach spiritual truths that were not understood. People knew how grapes were grown. Yeshua said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In order to have a fruitful, successful, productive life, we must be united to Yeshua by having faith in him, by knowing who he is, having faith in him, being loyal to him. If we are united to Yeshua, he will give us life and strength and energy, which will enable us to believe the things we need to believe, do the things we need to do, not do the things we shouldn't do. And even though we are united to Yeshua and drawing life and strength from him, we are to expect God to allow us to experience hardships, to be pruned from time to time. And those hardships, those difficulties, those challenges, which can be painful, are designed to improve us so that we can be even more productive. However, if we say we believe in Yeshua, yet engage in the same old sins, same old bad habits, have the same old values and wrong ways of thinking, have no desire to serve the Lord or build up Messiah's community or proclaim the gospel, we're useless to God. And he may end our life in this world or even end whatever relationship to Yeshua we think we have. I know that Yeshua loves me. I never want him to stop loving me. I like that Yeshua said, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Love and obedience are connected. Yeshua is the greatest example of love and obedience. He completely, always, perfectly obeyed his Father and therefore remained in his Father's love. It's very easy to say, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm a Messianic Jew, I follow Yeshua, I belong to God, I'm going to heaven. However, to really belong to God, we must be obedient to Yeshua's teachings. So God, grant me the desire to obey Yeshua's commands and the grace to keep them. Before I get involved in something, I want to know what I am getting myself into. I've learned that over the years. I like that Yeshua warned us that following him means we will be a hated minority. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. This world is evil. It is corrupt. Being hated by the world, who hated Yeshua, lets me know that I am on the right path and that I am truly following my Lord. This comforts me a lot. Knowing that the world will hate me frees me from needing to go along with the majority, needing to be popular, needing to be liked, needing to be accepted. God has placed eternity in our hearts. I very much want to live forever. And I like that Yeshua told us how. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Yeshua the Messiah, whom you have sent. To live forever, we must know that the God of Israel is the only true God, and that Yeshua is the Messiah that the only true God sent. Since Yeshua entered the world 2,000 years ago, knowing that there is one God is not enough. We must also know that Yeshua is the Messiah that the only true God sent. This is eternal life. This means that atheists and agnostics and followers of non-messianic Judaism and followers of Islam and followers of the world's other religions will not experience eternal life. Which is why we must proclaim the good news about Yeshua to the whole world. God is wise. God is powerful. God knows how to run his universe without us, without our wisdom and counsel and advice. Yet he is willing to respond to good prayers from people who are in a right relationship with him. I like good prayers from people who really know God. I especially like Yeshua's great prayer he prayed the night before he died, especially the part of his prayer for our protection and our unity. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, referring to us, but that you protect them from the evil one. My prayer is not for them alone, referring to his disciples. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. I want to be protected from the evil one. The evil one is all too real. Yeshua prayed that would happen. God will answer that prayer of Yeshua. I want to be part of a new humanity, characterized by a deep and profound love and unity. Yeshua prayed that would happen. God will answer that prayer. I want the world to know that the Father sent the Son. Yeshua prayed that our love for each other and our union with the Father and the Son will cause that to happen. God will answer that prayer. I want to have a little bit of glory. Yeshua prayed that that would happen. I have given them the glory that you gave me. God will answer that prayer. I like Yeshua's great prayer the night before he died. The world is unholy. People are unholy. I want to be different. I want to be holy. I want to be pure. I want to be set apart, which is what holy means, set apart for special purposes. I want to be set apart from an unholy world, set apart for God, set apart for eternal life. I like that Yeshua prayed for us to be holy. And in his prayer, let us know one of the things that God uses to make us holy. Sanctify them, make them holy, set them apart, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Truth not only sets us free, truth sanctifies us, sets us apart, makes us holy. Sanctify them by the truth. What is the truth? Your word is truth. God's word, the Bible, is truth. Almost makes me want to read and study the Bible until I really understand it from Genesis to Revelation. How about you? I like that Yeshua is wiser than the wisest, shrewder than the shrewdest, knowing that if he claimed to be a king, he would be guilty of treason against Caesar. I like that when the Roman governor asked Yeshua, "Are you the king of the Jews?" he replied, "My kingdom is not of this world." What a great answer. Yeshua spoke the truth that he is the king of the Jewish people, but he also communicated that he was a different kind of king, a king of a different kind of kingdom, which was not any threat to Caesar. I like that the notice fastened to the cross by the Romans told us the crime for which Yeshua was being put to death. Yeshua of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Pilate knew that Yeshua was not a threat to Caesar, but for political expediency had Yeshua executed anyway. The world did not like the king of the Jews then, and the world does not like the king of the Jews now. How about you, though? Again, none of the religions of the world have prophecies about their founders like we have about Yeshua. This lets us know that Yeshua is unique, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Savior of the world. I like that Yeshua fulfilled the Psalm 22 prophecy. When the soldiers crucified Yeshua, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled. That said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." How ironic that the King of Glory, the one who created all things, died without any possessions, stripped of the clothes he was wearing, so that he was probably naked while being crucified. This makes me love him even more. I like that when he had suffered enough, Yeshua said, "It is finished." Bowed his head and gave up his spirit. But simple, yet profound words. "It is finished." That tells us that Yeshua did everything God asked him to do. All the work that God had for him, he finished. God's great plan, starting from eternity past, to make salvation possible for his chosen ones, finished. Because the work of salvation is finished by Yeshua on the cross, that means that there is nothing we can do to be saved. It is finished. All we need to do is to have faith in the finished work of salvation made possible by Messiah's perfect life an atoning death. I want to be resurrected. I want the one who promised to resurrect me to himself be resurrected. I like that Yeshua was resurrected and that there is a lot of evidence for his resurrection. John, who was a reliable eyewitness, testified that the heavy stone had been moved from the entrance to the tomb where Yeshua's body had been placed. And the body of Yeshua was no longer in the tomb was empty. The strips of linen that had been used to bury him, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around his head, were in the tomb, indicating that something unusual had happened to the body of Yeshua. And we know that for something to be accepted as true, only two or three reliable witnesses need to testify. And John lets us know that more than that saw the resurrected Yeshua. Mary Magdalene was the first to see Messiah. He then appeared to 11 of his disciples. I'm sorry, 10 of his disciples. Thomas wasn't there. Then, a week later, he appeared again to the disciples, but this time Thomas was there. So we have Mary and we have the 11 disciples, 12 reliable eyewitnesses that Yeshua had been resurrected, raised from the dead. Since God would not allow a liar, a sinner, a false prophet, a false Messiah, to be resurrected, Yeshua's resurrection is God's seal of approval on everything Yeshua did and said. Yeshua's resurrection is God's affirmation of Yeshua's life and ministry. Yeshua's resurrection lets us know that Yeshua is truthful, sinless, perfect, that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Yeshua's resurrection makes him unique, since no one else has been raised from the dead. Not Buddha, not Confucius, not Moses, not Mohammed, Marx, Freud, anyone else. Yeshua's resurrection lets us know that he is greater than any of the prophets of Israel or the leaders of any other religion or ideology, and that we should believe every word that Yeshua said. Yeshua's resurrection means that he defeated Satan and the fallen angels. He conquered sin. He defeated death. I like that Yeshua said to Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's me. I am one of those blessed ones because although I have never seen, I believe. And most of you have never seen and yet you have believed. You too are blessed. Very blessed. Very blessed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I like that after Yeshua came back to life and the disciples were in a boat fishing all night on the Kinneret, the Lake of the Galilee, and had caught nothing, Yeshua appeared to them on the shore and told them to throw their net on the right side of the boat. And when they did, they caught a huge number of fish. When Yeshua is present, good things happen. They might be unusual things, but good things happen. I like that three times he told Peter, who had denied him three times, to feed his sheep. And he also prophesied Peter's death and the way he would die by crucifixion. Yeshua does not promise us a life without pain. He promises us a meaningful life, a productive life, and the grace to endure the pain. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, please give us a greater understanding of Yeshua, a greater love for Yeshua, a greater appreciation for Yeshua. Fill us with the Spirit of Yeshua. Transform us into the image of Yeshua. Make us more like him. Help us to be very close to Yeshua, who is very close to you. Help us fulfill the ongoing mission of Yeshua that he has entrusted to us. May we be faithful to him and to his great mission. Amen.